Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to Behind the Veil, a show that provides insight into the world of people and events. I'm your host, Keith Willard. Welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to be talking about something I think a lot of us are probably really interested in at this time of the year is trends. What is the world of events and weddings going to be like for 2024? And our guest today, Nicole Ettenhofer, is a brilliant source for this. And I'm not even going to waste time. Normally my co-host Marcy is here. Unfortunately, she is not able to be with us today. But so it's going to be Nicole and I having a brilliant conversation. Hi, Nicole. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Keith. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited because, you know, trends is not one of those things that I'm very good about following. So I'm thrilled that you're going to be telling me what to be looking out for and what have you. But before we get into that, can you tell us a little bit about you and your company and a few little background things?
Absolutely. So I'm Nicole Ettenhofer, and I'm the Vice President of Growth and Strategy for George Street Photo and Video. George Street is a national photo and video company. We've been capturing weddings for 20 years. Wow. So we have a lot of amazing experience and have seen a lot of wonderful, wonderful weddings take place. We are nationwide, so we're all across the U.S.
I love that. And you know, one of the things that you and I share is a love of hotels. Yeah. We both came from the hotel industry. And so it's so nice to talk to somebody that's in the event industry on this side, so to speak, on the dark side, and that used to work on the hotel side. And it's just, it's just a totally different experience, you know, when you walk into a hotel because you understand what they're going through.
Absolutely. Yes. You know what they're going through day to day. And just by walking into the lobby alone, you can just see what may have taken place.
Oh my goodness. No. And, you know, and then of course, if you're living in South Florida right now, there's such, you know, when we have such a low unemployment rate, it is really hard to find good employees. And I think that hotels are like really, they're in a really bad place in some places because it is hard to find really good employees right now.
It really is across the board.
Yeah, I'm really lucky. I mean, my team is gelled together for many years, so I'm thrilled. And they better not leave. I'm just giving you a heads up, guys. Anyway, better not leave. I'll find you. Okay, so let's talk about trends. Now, you know, when we've heard trends in the past, you know, we've all seen it on the Martha Stewart magazines and on Two Bright Lights and all the, or is it Three Bright Lights? One of those. You know, what really is a trend, right? Is it something that more and more people are doing? You know, who are the trendsetters, so to speak?
Yeah, what I always take away from the trends, what I'm seeing. So because we are shooting thousands of weddings, so I'm actually looking at imagery to discern what is a trend. Yeah. And so, and that's how we underline trends from our perspective is what's truly a trend. And there are some really, really fun ones out there this year. And I've seen a lot of trends over the years, but I'll just dive into a couple.
Yes. Yes. Right. I would love that. Okay. So tell me, I'm all ears.
All right. Yeah. So first of all, is having a little bit of a retro vintage style to the wedding. So that can mean anything from, you know, seeing a splash of the 70s or the 80s. So you might see vinyl records on display and like saying that they're recording everyone. There may be, really, really cool splashes of color. So you'll see really vibrant pinks and oranges in it. And it really has a really fun retro feel to it.
And I have to say the retro thing, as being the age that I am, and you say vinyl records, I'm like, oh, kill me. Stab me in the heart. What do you mean it's retro? That's my pastor talking about. Like, what?
I know. It's like, oh, I have thought that myself.
No, I thought 8-track tapes were retro, but vinyl's retro. Okay. I'm into it. Yeah.
The other really great way to like be able to have more personalization is to bring in a family heirloom. So you'll see where, you know, they may bring in a brooch from their grandmother, or they may bring in, you know, like I saw a beautiful display of clocks from their family history. So you can see a lot of different elements being brought in. It really makes it unique to the couple.
Well, I love the brooch idea because I've seen the brooch where they put it in the bouquet because she wanted something special, you know, from her family. I've also seen where they've used fabric from the grandmother's dress to wrap the base of the bridal bouquet, which I thought was really lovely. It's a personal touch. You know, it's not meant for a dramatic statement. It's meant for more of a heart kind of feel.
And absolutely.
So I feel like the stuff that you're talking about really is that kind of moment of how do I connect with my own wedding? You know, it's not
absolutely
right. Not meant to be like, oh, this is going to make everybody's heartstrings and it's going to be an excellent TikTok video. No, it's meant to be, okay, this is my wedding day and I want it to be special. You know,
personally. Right. It adds in a lot of meaning, you know, yeah. So, and it has meaning and no one else in the audience may realize, you know, all the guests that are there may not even realize that it's there, but it allows yeah. that to be heartwarming to the couple, to the bride, to the groom, to the couple.
And I love that. And I just think that makes a lot more sense. You know, you can always tell when a client is in it for the party, you know, what are people going to say about my event versus, right. you know, this is my day and I really want to make it special for me and for us, you know, being the couple.
Agreed.
And I love the fact, and I feel like that seems to be, especially since COVID, I feel like we've gotten much better. Couples in general have gotten much better about making it about them and about, you know, the joy, you know, we want to share our joy between us with our guests.
Agreed. We've really, and since, you know, since 2020, 21, 22, we really have seen that variation as well. Really people going into, you know, making it what matters to them.
Thank goodness. Right. I'm so glad that that's happening because I felt like we were getting into the, like, get, you know, past the Joneses kind of moment. You know, everybody wanted to do something that was bigger, better, crazier, you know, splashier. And I feel like it's nice to have kind of that emotional connection again. It's more about the experience than it is about the like, wow feature, which I love. I love it.
I love it too. Another really fun trend, Keith, that I'm seeing is dresses. So, you know, it's been wild to see. And this is where I really feel like people are doing what they want to do.
Yeah.
They might even take, you know, speaking of the family heirloom, they may take their mother or their grandmother's dress and actually transform it into what fits for their personality. So, you know, where historically you would see, you know, the more traditional long white, you know, floor length white gown, you're now seeing, you know, even mini dresses. You're seeing a lot of color. You're seeing multiple outfit changes throughout the day.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Brides are going to consignment stores and buying a dress, affordable dress, and then transforming it into something that's theirs. So that it's been really fun to see that trend come to life and just the nice variety and uniqueness.
And I love that, you know, and I have seen that a couple of times where they took their grandmother's dress and then they had it altered so it was fit them better and you know, changed the neckline to a sweetheart and all the lovely things. One thing I saw that, like, just this last weekend, and it, because it was an outdoor wedding and it was kind of hot, she had actually, like, added an extra liner under her dress so that way it would look really good for photos.
Nice.
And then a little extra liner under the train of it, which was really beautiful. But she understood that it was an outdoor wedding. So after the photos had to be taken, she was able to remove that one piece underneath the dress. So it became a little bit more flexible and then was able to get rid of that heaviness under the train and then have it bustled really beautifully and light, which I thought was excellent. I thought, what a really brilliant idea.
It really is brilliant. And we're seeing a lot more of that where maybe they might have, you know, for the actual ceremony part, they may have longer sleeves or that can be removed, or they may have a cape of some sort if it's, you know, cold outside, obviously not in Florida, but but in the Midwest.
Depends on the morning or the day. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so I totally get that, you know.
Alone will change the style. Like, so they're able to have multiple styles and some are for photos and some are, you know, not for photos, but really being able to bring all of those components in is on trend right now.
I love that. Okay. So they're figuring out how to make even their dress more personable, more connected with their family lineage, their family history. You know, and one of the things that I have noticed that is that I'm starting to see a lot more of the bride reaching out to the new mom-in-law you know, the mother-in-law, and then figuring out how to bring in some of their family history into what they're wearing and what they're, you know, what they're doing. They're taking that whole idea of something new, something blue, something borrowed, and really figuring out how do I connect our two families using those traditional pieces.
Yeah, we've been noticing that as well. And it really helps to make it one of a kind for the family. When I say family, I mean, like you're talking about, Keith, the jointness of the families. How do we bring it all together to make it one?
Well, because, you know, we for a while, I got really popular about doing the don't pick a side. We're one big family. You know, those signs were really big for a bit. And I think, you know, our next generation is figuring out how to take that into like one step further.
Agreed. You know,
how do we actually show how that looks, you know, not just a sign, but with this kind of thing. All right.
Threading it in multiple layers. You know, we're seeing it in displays, like reception entry displays, where they're really bringing the family components together. Really, it's like you're saying, making it one unit, like one of a kind for the entire family.
Love it. What about wedding cakes? I mean, because, you know, wedding cakes have been kind of traditional, and I have some thoughts on this, but I wanted to get your take, because you really do have that lens, so to speak, on the eye of weddings. So what are you seeing, like, for wedding cakes, like past, present, future?
So, you know, in the past, we saw, I'll talk about past trends. So past trends were, there were a lot of cupcakes, a lot of donuts, things of that nature. So it was anti-cake, right?
Yes. And
I even saw recent photos from past weddings of pizza instead of a cake. So, you know,
okay.
Whatever's yours, do it.
Double stuffed Chicago pizza. I get it. Okay. Right? No, they get it. Yep. All right.
But what we're seeing is a lot of, there's a lot of simplicity in the cake. So they might add where it's adding like texture. So that might be, you know, where they're putting candy beads around it or flowers on it to really create a nice texture to the cake, but still keeping it simple. But then we see grand cakes as well, where, you know, they are, you know, five layers and they have, you know, bright, vibrant colors. And then we still see some of the non-traditional cakes as well, but we're seeing less of that. They're also the display of the cake. I don't know if you're seeing this.
Yes. Oh my God. You are in my head. I was literally thinking about that. That is crazy that you just even brought that up. Okay, go ahead. Tell me.
So what's been really fun to see is, you know, so they may have a very simple cake, but they put it on, like I've seen it on a piece of wood.
Yeah.
Just some simple flowers around it. And it really adds to the cake. So, you know, if you don't have the budget for a really expensive cake, there are easy ways that you can display it to make it look like you spent a lot of money. And again, adding that one of a kind touch to it. And I haven't
seen it on a swing. I saw it on a swing that they actually built like an A-frame and then did it on a swing, which I just thought was brilliant. Brilliant idea. And then, you know, obviously pedestals have come a really long way. I mean, you can go onto Amazon and get all sorts of a million different pedestals now for nothing. And I think that's the other thing, is that so much more is available to couples to be able to get and then keep for, you know, future generations if they so choose. But I love the wood idea.
And some of the displays I could even imagine people using just in their homes when they're having, you know, guests over and things of that nature, you know? So it's really fun to see, but I really have been appreciating it. You know, before you would see just kind of a plain white table with the cake on top of it. And now, you know, they might do different lighting with the cake. They may do, you know, a different, like a bunch of flowers around the cake. They may repurpose the bouquets that they used in the ceremony to be displayed with the cake as well. So it's really this kind of multi-use, how do we display the cake without having to spend, you know, a crazy amount of money on a cake?
So, and the other thing that I've seen is creating, because of technology has just advanced so dramatically, you know, over the last 15, 20 years, and using the cake as almost a projection, meaning that they project onto it. And so sometimes you'll see a cake with a carriage literally circling it because they've got a projector and somehow figured out. And now you can get all this on the web. Like all that cake mapping is actually available on the web for people to then use for a regular projector, which is crazy because you used to have to have like specialized everything in order to do this. And so everything's just gotten cheaper, simpler, easier. And so more and more couples are finding themselves like, how do we get creative with this?
Right.
Like, I can have snow falling on my filter in Instagram. Can I do that with a wedding cake? And the answer is yes.
Yes.
There's like options now out there for people to do. And I love
it. There really are.
Love that.
And it's endless. You know, you can do anything you want.
My favorite is the little dog that takes a little bite out of the cake. You know, you see the little dog figurine. I mean, I know it's cheesy, but I love cheesy at a wedding. I'm a big fan of cheese at a wedding. I think that's one of the things that kind of binds us and adds some humor into it. You got to have a little humor.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's the other thing too. Like one of my favorite themes is when people are really into, you know, to reading into books, like really, you know, seeing like different displays of books around the cake too, like you, or having the cake actually be a book.
Oh, I love that. And I actually did a wedding at a Books and Books store and it's actually, and this has been a year or two ago. And then a publisher just reached out to me and I connected them with the bride from it because we actually did the wedding while the bookstore was open. So that guests were perusing and also could watch this wedding. It was brilliant. It was so brilliant. Right. It was a smaller wedding, but the photos were like extraordinary. And so now it's going to be included in this book about love and bookstores. And I just think that's fantastic.
Yeah. It's another fun thing that we're seeing. And then also backdrops. I don't know if you're seeing this, Keith, a lot, but we've been seeing a lot of backdrops, especially in the ceremony and we've been seeing everything from really beautiful botanicals in the background, which is really lovely because it draws the eye to the couple. Right. So it looks great in photos. From a photography perspective, highly recommend it because it brings the focus to them. But then in addition to that, they can then take that and seamlessly transition it into the reception as well. If they're having, you know, more of a sweetheart table, can also be sitting behind them as well to bring a little bit life.
So cute.
And the backdrops, like you could even have a backyard wedding. And if you have a really amazing backdrop, that you've created, that's once again, bringing that back to that unique personalized look and feel, you know, you can transform any space using a backdrop.
Well, and you know, fortunately for us, you know, down here in South Florida, most people that come in, especially from our destination weddings, want to have the ocean backdrop. They want to have that water backdrop. You know, the hard part is being on the East Coast is you can't really have that sunset moment unless you're on an intercoastal or down on the Keys, but it's still possible. So I love the idea of backdrops. I'm seeing a lot of like the A-frames and squares where then those things are then moved to either frame the cake or frame the couple, which I think is really, you know, that idea of being useful after its initial use. It seems to be a consistent theme that I'm seeing more and more people that, you know, what do they say? I don't want to get to use, reuse, recycle, all that good stuff.
Yeah, now, it's very course, sustainable.
Sustainable, thank you. I don't know why I couldn't think of the name. Sustainable, hello. So, but that's what I'm starting to see is more and more of that. And people getting away from favors. Thank you, God.
Oh, right?
I hate favors. I never understood why people have to give away like a champagne glass emblazoned with a date on it. Who's going to keep that champagne glass? Nobody.
Ugh. I know. It's like put the money towards something else.
Right. Put it towards an experience. Right. It's like,
exactly.
You know, you're going to spend what, $5, $6, $7 a person on a favor. Why not use that? I will say, I did have a favor where they gave out little candles, and normally that would make my skin crawl. But the candles were made by a group that served our underserved communities, which I thought was really brilliant. So that money was going back to support the community. I understood that. I got that. It had a beautiful message with it, you know, but giving a cookie for a cookie's sake, or, you know, giving whatever, like a cheap compass ones, you know, that doesn't do anybody any good anymore.
I agree, Keith. And we have seen where, you know, more and more people are really in lieu of a party favor, they are actually doing some type of donation. We've seen it to, you know, if their heart, wherever their heart is, again, it's kind of that what matters to them. Right.
Well, and the hard part with that, though, is it's kind of an intangible. And what I love that with this candle thing, it was kind of a message that they could see it, they could touch it, they could hold it, see where it came from, understood where it came from, understood what they were supporting. So it did a little bit of both, you know, gave people jobs. Right. So I'd love that. I love that couples are becoming more focused on not just themselves, but the world around them. And helping the world at large. Awesome.
Absolutely. Love it. I do too. It's been fun.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and I think kind of all of those trends really, you know, we're continuing to see them emerge. But those are some of the very top ones for 2024.
Amazing. What do you see about decor? Because I know you talked a little bit about the retro look, right? And of course, what was the Pantone color of the year? I can't remember it now. I think it was like a blush, right?
Yes.
I know it has a specific name, but it's like blush. And I feel like the blush thing is kind of one of those colors that we always go back to be safe. Ivory, blush, creams, you know, those are your like safe colors for weddings. If you don't really care, you know, about making a bold statement, or you don't really care about like deep purples or plums or any like major hue, you know, do an ivory, a blush, and you're going to do great. Everything's going to go with it. Beautiful. But I think you mentioned something about bold colors early in the conversation.
So we are seeing more and more really bold colors. I am like really, you know, if you think of the 1980s pinks and orange and green, I saw one a wedding recently that it had, and it was very tastefully done where they brought in really bright green colors, and it was just a splash.
Yeah.
So it really added to the flavor of the wedding and really, you know, brought that in. And in that particular wedding, they also had a dancing green robot on the dance floor.
I love it. Love
so it's like bringing in the entertainment and really bringing in, and it was like, so it's kind of like bringing in also like, you know, gaming into the wedding too. So that was really fun, but we're seeing a lot more and also dresses too, like, you know, black dresses, red dresses, you know, bright pink dresses, not because again, you were talking about the blush color dresses have been in for a while, but we're really starting to see a lot of colors that and really popping.
So with that, I want to ask you your opinion about lighting, because one of the things that I have to explain to my couples, especially when they're looking at like floral or tablecloths, is that yes, it looks great in full bright sunlight, but that's not your wedding. Your wedding is going to be in a ballroom or at least after dark with up lights and 50% lights and bistro lights and, you know, whatever other lighting, but it's a very different kind of light. And then it shoots very differently for you.
It does.
Is that some type of conversation that you get to have? Because I always wonder, you know, or why doesn't the photographer get more say in when they're starting to discuss that kind of decor piece, because you're going to be capturing it. So many times I feel like you're having to adjust last minute because you're like, okay, I see these really deep reds, but once you drop the lights and add the up lights, those are going to come out black visually. So then you have to bring in bright lights in order to capture that.
Yeah, lighting. So up lighting is a challenge.
you think? Oh, yes. It turns everything purple. I get it. Oh my God. Yes, I'm the worst. So, I'm the worst, by the way, about that. Yes,
right.
I understand.
It's been. You know, it's just when you see the reception and you're, you know, it's like beautiful, 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 and then you're like, oh no, they turn on the up lighting, right?
Yep.
It's like you can see. And it really, I do think couples really thinking about the uplighting, thinking about the lighting is really important. Like we always encourage people to make sure that they're considering natural light for a portion of their, especially for their group photos and things of that nature, because natural light just, it simply looks better. You don't have a lot of, you know, shadows being casted and things of that nature. So we try to show them in photos. So because, you know, people are visual. So when they can see, you know, if they want that bright orange uplighting in the ballroom, all of their photos are going to be orange. We can do our very best in editing, but it doesn't matter how many lights our talent members bring to the wedding itself. Like, there's not much that can be done at that point in time. So we try to explain that, you know, to couples. We have a, you know, variety of different blog articles on it, and we, and our team of coordinators will make sure that people understand that. But at the end of the day, you know, individuals are going to do what they want. So there, there are other ways to bring in color without lighting.
I know. And see, and that's the thing. And I think that's one of those conversations that more planners need to understand what it's like to be in other people's shoes. I feel like our couples have evolved to be more about the world in general. And yet many of our vendors are still stuck in, this is my lane. This is my job. This is what I do. I'm not paying attention, you know, or they're like, well, I've seen planners do planning. So that means I can be a DJ and a planner. It's like, no, there's a happy medium there. Right. You know, I need you to be involved with what else is happening in the world, and especially in the wedding, so that way we can work towards your advantage versus having to deal with catching up, you know, but without having to take over somebody's job. You know, you're still like the amazing DJ, photographer, videographer, et cetera. You know, do you really want to then also get into planning? But you need to be able to talk to the planner, to the couple, and to the other vendors in order to make sure everybody shines.
I mean, right. And everyone works together.
Yeah.
I mean, because everybody can help, you know, everybody can help each other out at the same time too. So it's just kind of remembering, like, even our videographers, like working with the DJ to make sure that the sound is coordinated and things of that nature. So, and the planners working with our, you know, our, I say wedding coordinators, cause that's what they call them, but they're not planners themselves. They're like, they actually help to coordinate everything.
All the logistics. Yeah.
All the logistics and making sure that the couple is able to think through their entire day. All of that is really important. And we have at George Street, we have a wedding plan that really helps, you know, the couple to think through their entire day. It lays out their entire day. Here's what you should be thinking about to help capture your wedding. Then we also provide that to the planner. So it's a way to be able to collaborate with our talent members, the couple, the planners, the venue, you name it. And so everyone, you know, everyone can kind of work with that.
And I think that's important in order to make a really great team environment. You know, your planner has to be able to not throw people under the bus. If they forget something, they need to own up to it. Come on, you know, be an adult. And same thing for when it comes to anybody else. Everybody makes mistakes, but they're also heroes in the moment. Like, I will give you an example. Sunday, the rabbi did not show up to the wedding. But I'm an officiant, so I was like, okay, let me step in. The photographer was brilliant. She kind of rolled with it as well. We got the sister in, and it ended up being such a much better ceremony, I feel, in general. Like, the family loved it. Oh, my God. The bride and the groom loved it. They had the best time of their life. But that would not have been possible if I hadn't had a great community of vendors that understood that we just had to deal with a big change. We're going to need 15 or 20 minutes. And that involved the hotel, that involved the chef, that involved the videographer, the photographer, the DJ. I mean, you know, all of those things came into play. And if it wasn't a strong team, that would have turned out very differently.
It really would have. I mean, that could have went the complete opposite direction had you not had a team of professionals and everybody collaborating together.
Could have screwed us is what it could have done. Really, you know? Yes. I mean, it could have really screwed us. I mean, that's the thing. And I really wish, and I hope that this becomes a trend, that more and more vendors start understanding that, you know, it is a team environment. It is no longer dog eat dog world out there. We have to work together.
Absolutely.
You know, and planners need to understand. And this is one of the things, I love the fact that you come from a hotel background, so that you understand that the hotel and food costs, and there are expenses that they can't just throw stuff in, you know. Agreed. That, you know, anything that's consumable has a price tag attached to it. So, you know, get away from that whole idea. And so many articles were written about this, about the fact that, you know, ask the hotel for a free cocktail hour. I'm like, the hotel's not going to give you a free cocktail hour, guys.
Right.
There's a cost to that. Come on. You want an upgrade for your family? Great. Anyway, so talk a little bit about, you know, I'm really fascinated about this George Street photo and video, because did I read correctly that you're there to help connect people?
So this with our style test. So what we do. Yes. So we have a network. We have about 2,000 talent members we work with across the country. Yeah. And they, so we work with all of those talent members, and that's a blend of photographers and videographers. And then what we do is we have all of our couples, we have them take what we call it a style test, but it's not a test. It's a very fun and engaging way. Basically, they go through a variety of different photos that we, you know, and so you can take a look at, do you like more of a photojournalistic style? Do you like more of a thoughtful style, romantic style, artistic style? And so what we do is we have them take that ahead of the consultation so that way we can then present, here are, you know, 3 to 5 talent members who actually fit your style available on your wedding day. And then we get to explore it from that angle. So that way they're getting what they are interested in.
I love that you do this, because that's exactly what I do with my clients, is that I will send them 6 very different photographers that are journalistic, that, you know, have very different. And I say, okay, you pick your favorite out of here. And that will tell me what kind of photographer you like. And then that way I can then put together a list that is relevant, not just, you know, here's 30 photographers for you to click through. I want to give you 6 really great photographers that are, again, available on your day that shoot the way you want.
Right? Because there is a difference. I mean, some people's their interest is, and what we really focus on is photojournalistic, meaning, you know, the candid moments and really capturing the essence of the day, the special moments of the day. There are people who prefer more of all post photos. Now, they lean more towards that side, which we will also do. And we have photographers who, you know, might lean a little bit more into that. And then, you know, but then there are, you know, those who have more edgy photos that are really artistic, where the photographer brings in really cool backgrounds or make sure that, focal point for them. So, you know, really it is what is the true interest of the couple. And then we match them with those photographers.
What do you think about this? And maybe this is a trend. Maybe this totally fits in. Is the idea of getting as many photos, not just the day of, because, you know, first looks have become a big thing right now. Yes. But even the day before, the week before, the month before, where, you know, their friends and family are in, and they're like, you know what? We're going to get with our photographer and we're going to go do a session with us at the beach. Right. So that way we can get our best man and our maid of honor, because usually, obviously, they're best friends at that point,
right?
You know, and so they already hang out together for Fridays and Saturdays, and why not involve a photographer to get those really fabulous photos and then put together a book that you then use as your guest book the night of the wedding? Because then it really does pull people in. They're like, you know, and I think that the photographer is really undervalued when it comes to outside of the wedding day.
Yeah, that's one of a tip that I have is to do some type of photo session, engagement session, because it also helps you, like, you need to know how you're going to be in front of the lens, right? It helps you to become more comfortable with the lens, and whether you simply want it to be the couple, a lot of times that's how people bring in their pets as well.
I love that.
It's a great way to bring in your furry friend who might not be able to be with you in the day, but at least they can be part of the day.
Right.
It gives you a way to just, you know, to really, because there is a comfort level that you have to have with the camera. You're going to be on camera that entire day. From getting ready to the moment you leave for the entire evening, depart for the day. So it really helps you to feel more comfortable. It helps you to get to know your photographer. So that's a really great example. And then bringing in, you know, we offer a variety of sessions. So you can also add in to bring in, you know, your friends and things of that nature to really make it part of it.
I think that's, you know, it's one of those things that I love, because they get comfortable in front of the camera, they are much more at ease. And so that photojournalistic piece becomes much easier for the photographer to actually capture, because we're so used to seeing a lens and everybody going, cheese, you know.
Right.
You know, what we used to call it, like the cheerleader pose, you had the exact same smile for every single photo, because you made it like click, you know, head to the left, head to the right, whatever. And so to be able to have that ability to get used to that lens, so that way you forget about it the day of the wedding. You don't you're not posing on purpose. If you need to be posed, the photographer is going to tell you to pose.
Absolutely. And then it also helps to just have more of a feel for everything to happen organically, right? Because the photographer is going to try to be on the sideline as much as possible. When I say on the sideline, I mean allowing the day to happen and capturing those moments from different angles, which leads me to another tip, the importance of having two photographers.
Oh, yes. I'm so glad you're covering this.
Yes, because it's impossible to capture important moments from different angles without two. You physically cannot do it. So a great example is walking down the aisle. To capture the person at the altar and that whole party, along with all of the moments of the, I'm going to use a bride and groom as an example, a bride walking down the aisle with her dad. Like, you cannot capture that entire moment in the full essence of the emotion without having two photographers.
Right. Because you got to have them going in both directions, So the expense between a single and a double photographer or two photographers is not what I would consider insane. I mean, typically they work on the same team, and usually for, $500,000, $1,200 difference, you get two, and what a difference it makes. It frees up the timeline so dramatically, because I'm not rushing people to get, because we only have one photographer. So smart.
Exactly. Yeah, you're able to capture both, both parties getting ready. You're able to, there are just so many things that you're able to capture so that you really, even when I got married, it's like to see the fun photos of my husband's getting ready versus my getting ready, for us to be able to share about that and talk about it with the photos was really lovely. And without two photographers, again, it's physically impossible. So, I think that it is worth the money, because I see thousands of weddings a year, and the difference between a single photographer and two photographers is great. Different. And like you said, it's, for us, it's, somewhere between, depending on the time of year, it's somewhere between $500 and $700 difference. So that's well worth that money.
Oh yes. That's one of the things. I'm never at a wedding by myself. I always have at least one other person, if not two or three, because I cannot physically be in multiple places, just like the photographer, and I think that that's one of those things is like, couples tend to read the current Knot or Wedding Wire article that says, oh, you want really beautiful flowers? Then be more budget conscious on your photographer. I'm like, no, what are you saying? If you want a little bit of everything and you want invite less guests, I guarantee you there's going to be at least 30% on your guest list that you don't really care about.
Right. Again, make it uniquely yours by inviting those you want to really be there.
Exactly. It's like, oh my goodness, this is not a status symbol anymore. You really want it to be a fun party. And let me tell you, those 30 or 40% that, they probably don't want to have to come to your wedding anyway. So,
right. Yeah.
Just let's not include them. Let's make sure that the people that are invited love you and then going to have a good time. And I guarantee you, your wedding's going to be better across the board because you didn't invite your third cousin that you haven't seen in 6 years who still owes you $20. Just don't understand that at all. And luckily that is a trend that I'm seeing, is that people are becoming smarter about who they invite to their weddings.
Yeah, we see that too. Oh, I'm sorry, Keith Lee. We see that too, where you can tell that the guest size seems to be, 100 and less is a little bit more common these days, at 100 people, that's a lot of people.
A lot of people.
Yep.
It's still 10 tables. I mean, that is, most of our weddings down here tend to be like 120, 130, or at least most of my weddings seem to be that, between 100 and 150, which is great. Once you hit the 150 person mark and you go above, there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to actually say hi to everybody.
I know those larger weddings that seems to be a regret. Like I wasn't able to say hello to everyone.
Yeah. And it's like,
took all night.
Yeah, or just, you know, so just reduce the number. Mm-hmm. Enjoy your day more. I guarantee you everything else gets a little, you know, there's some general costs like photographer. I'm like, that's always going to be basically this cost. Sorry. But it does reduce your food and beverage, which is a big part of your budget, your florals, yes, your rentals, all of that shrinks. And you have a better time at your wedding. And you have a better time.
Right. Yeah, it's like, I think that's the secret sauce, Keith.
I think so. I really do. I'm a big fan of make it fun. You know, it's going to be the same people. Yeah. The idea that you had to invite your boss and your boss's wife or husband or whoever, you know, the third cousins, or they're going to get mad if they don't get an invitation, or they invited me to their wedding, so now I feel like they need to be invited to my wedding. Get right. that out of your head. Who do you want at your wedding?
Yeah. What matters to you?
What matters to you? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Oh my God. So if people wanted to get more information about you, reach out to you, talk to you, you know, how do they do that?
They go to georgestreetphoto.com and, or they can check out our Instagram. We do multiple posts a week. But on georgestreetphoto.com, there's a form that they can fill out to get more information about the company, or they can also reach out to info@georgestreetphoto.com. And that's our email address.
Love it. And I really think that, you know, all the trends that you talked about today are very common sense. These are things that I feel like are going to a more personalized experience overall. You know, people are figuring out new ways to make it interesting that aren't ridiculously overpriced. You know,
agreed.
The age of spending big dollars for big splashy, I feel like it's slowly, finally going away. And that, you know, spending money wisely, because they are focused on the experience of the guest versus the wow. Because the wow goes away. What do they say? You know, they're hot pan for 2 minutes type of thing, you know?
Yes.
I feel like that weddings are kind of the same thing. You know, deal with the stuff that you know is going to create a long-lasting experience and vibe versus the flash in the pan. It'll serve everybody much better.
And it really makes it unique to the for them. You know, yeah. It really helps it to be one of a kind for what matters most to them, which you know, continues to be the conversation today.
Amazing. Thank you, Nicole. Oh my God.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh my God. So much fun. All right. So next Tuesday, we'll be back at 2:00. But for now, we're going to say goodbye.
Bye. All right, Keith. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Well, stay on for me, though. Bye.